Good morning, everybody. It is such a blessing to be in London. Amen. And it says here, thank you. And first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming here because you show that Christianity is no longer post. To get up early Sunday morning and come to a place to worship God shows that Christ is very much alive today. Amen. And also, I want to thank all the singles. You guys are heroes. Thank you for all of you for giving your hearts. What an amazing group of young men and women and people who love God, love one another. We're very thankful that you invited me and my wife to be a part of your conference. It was a real thrill and joy for us. Of course, I need to say thank you to Tokes and Bola for taking such great care of us with the singles conference. It was really awesome. You know, the name of the conference was The Rock. And I was pretty sure it was about God, but then I hugged Tokes and I felt his biceps and I thought this could be Tokes, or I'm not quite sure what The Rock is, but I'm pretty sure it's God, amen. But I had my first fish and chips yesterday, so I'm fired up for Jesus. Unbelievable city, and of course, you know, Mohan and Helen, it was such a kind and generous welcome introduction, but really Mohan and Helen, you know, it's the 10 years we were able and blessed to serve with Hope Worldwide, we were really inspired most of all by the way God started Hope in the Indian work. And it's really unbelievable what God has done. And Mohan and Helen were such an inspiration for us, but not just from working together, but they're so kind. And they are so humble. And they are such great servants. And they're so spiritual. And I know you guys know these things. You live with them all the time. But I'm just reminding you of what you probably already know, but it is such a blessing to be friends with them. It is so great to be back here in the UK. You know, my son has a dream to study at Cambridge in Boston. Doggone it. But my daughter has a dream to study in the UK, so we're very excited about that. We'll see. You know, we have our plans, but God decides our steps. But it is exciting to be here, and you have such a lovely city, an amazing country, and the church here is absolutely amazing. Amen? Let's get started then, shall we? Can we have a little less light maybe up here so that we can see the slides clearly? I'm not that interesting to look at. This will be more interesting. Next slide, please. Okay, excellent. So we can see that? This is kind of Eastern Europe. Me and my wife are working with all the churches in Eastern Europe. That's 20 countries. There's 24 churches and 3,600 brothers and sisters in this part of the world. Amen? There's a couple fish missing, but I don't know how to put new fish up on the board, so we'll have to figure that out. Next slide. The name of the lesson today is, On This Rock, I Will Build My Church. Amen? In Matthew 16, if you can open or turn on your Bibles, I bet Paul never said that. Turn on your Bible. I do appreciate the prayers for the Ukraine. If you want to follow more what's going on with the churches and the Christians, I have a page on Facebook. It's called Prayer for Peace. You can get on there, and we're updating what's going on with the Christians and the churches inside the Ukraine. We've actually sent out an email on that asking people all over the world if they can pray, especially tomorrow. Pray and fast. We've also asked people to fast, those who can, that the Lord would somehow stop or reroute the events that seem to be inevitably building up. So we are praying for a miracle, and God is capable of doing a miracle. And if he doesn't, we still believe that is a miracle. Because God will use whatever happens to win more people for Christ. That we're sure of. Amen? Matthew 16, 18 through 19. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot a very important thing. This is a congregational service, so there's an opportunity or even a possibility that maybe the person around you don't actually know their name. So if you could just stand up quickly and introduce yourself and maybe even give a hug if you're risky, you know, if you want to go for it. Just say hello quickly. Okay, let's go ahead and be seated. Let's be seated. Please take your seats.
That person you're hugging, try and help them to sit down. Amen. Let's go ahead and be seated. Excellent. Let's be seated. You know, telling a church to get up and give a hug is a very dangerous idea. Let's be seated. Let's be seated. Let's be seated. Let's be seated. Help that person still standing to be seated. Okay. Excellent. Matthew 16. What's that? The big one? Okay. Hello. Okay.
I'll take that one. Yeah. Oh, won't move?
Hello? Okay. Matthew 16. You guys could have kept hugging, and I. Okay. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, this is a moment where Jesus kind of reveals that he is the Messiah. That he's come to save us. You know, that's a great idea. If someone comes up to you and say, I'm here to save you. But then the question is, how? It's awesome you're here to save us, but how? And Jesus opens up his plan right here. This is how he's going to save the world. He says, I will build my church. His church is the plan to save the world. Amen, church? Next slide. Greatness. You know, it's you can argue about what true greatness is, but there is sometimes you see greatness that's truly great. When you think about a I've forgotten English. Person who makes music. What is that called? Composer. Okay. Who are some great composers in the history of the world? Just throw out a couple names. Bach. Beethoven. Mozart. Tokes. Oh, no. Next slide. Mozart, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky. Those are some... And even if you don't like that kind of music, you would acknowledge that they're great, right? Next slide. Even if you're not a football fan, even if you like a different team, you would have to say these are some pretty great football players. Am I right? What about musicians or popular music type people? Who are some of the greatest ever? Michael Jackson? Beatles? Okay, next slide. Oh, I mixed it up. That's Michael Jackson. That's actually me next to Michael Jackson. I made a deal with him. If he came to a Hope event, I'd teach him how to moonwalk. So he came and, you know, no. He actually did come to our first Hope event in Moscow. It was awesome to get to meet him. And the Beatles, of course, are amazing. Now go back a slide about the cities, which I mixed up. These are just incredible. You know, you just see one photo and you know exactly what it's talking about. London is truly one of the great cities of the world. Next slide. Great companies. Companies that have just, even if you don't like these products, they've just been around and they're big. Next slide. But the greatest, without question, without competition, without comparison, the greatest organization of all time is the Church of Christ. There has never, ever, ever, nor will there ever, next slide, there will never, ever be a collection of people that will have as much impact ever on this planet than the Church of Christ. There is no organization that's been installed for the last 2,000 years that will be installed for the next 2,000 years, that'll exist for the next billion years. There is no organization that can turn a marriage around. There's no organization that can heal someone who's completely sick in their soul. There's no organization that could forgive sins. You are a part And you are attending this morning probably the most impactful organization led by, without question, the most impressive, unbelievable man that ever walked the face of this earth. The Church of Christ. You know, it's interesting. I also say that. I think, I usually don't think of it that highly because I'm a part of it. It's unbelievable what God is doing, will do, and can do through each one of us. Amen, church? Next slide. Next slide. Okay, let's open up our Bibles again, Matthew 5. You know what it says? He builds his church on the rock. What is that rock? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Well, yes, it's God and Jesus. But on what? On his word. God, Jesus, the word of God, the teachings. Let's take a look at some of Jesus' very beginning teachings. Because I think as that rock, we can see what it is God wants to build with his church. Amen? You know, I know this year in the UK or in London, you're studying the kingdom, which is an incredible topic. It's unbelievable because we get to be a part of that kingdom. Let's read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know, before we get started, let me take 1 second to talk about the word blessed. The word blessed means like happy or joyful, but not completely just happy and joyful. It means something more. 2,000 years ago, if you were used the word blessed, it would only be used to describe a God. A human being could not be blessed. Because blessed means it's an untouchable happiness. It's an untouchable joy. It's something that no circumstances on earth could touch that joy. It's like you're above all the things that human beings have to interact with. You would only say a God is blessed. Jesus comes down. He's waited thousands of years to deliver this sermon. Stands up in front of people and he starts it out saying, you can be blessed. You can have the happiness and the joy of a God. You can have a joy that's so intense that your health won't impact it. Your economics won't impact it. The weather won't impact it. Which football team won last night will not even impact it. Even if you faced death, this joy would be untouchable. The joy of a God. Jesus standing in front of simple, uneducated, poor people saying, you can have the joy of a God. And in these next few verses, he lays out, he just changes everybody's mind of what it means to actually receive that joy. Amen? Amen? I believe with all my heart, if you let the scriptures hit your heart this morning, you can walk out of here with a joy that is that of the gods. Amen, church? Amen. Next slide. Let's get into it. We'll go through each one of these. Hang in there. Amen? We'll probably take a hug break in the middle, but I'm counting the cost on that already. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, when you read that, you think, wait a minute, an untouchable joy is the person who's poor in spirit. But that doesn't immediately make sense, because usually when you think poor, you don't think happy. Poor, sad, rich, happy. You know, okay, we could be super spiritual and say, okay, I could be poor materially but still be happy. But this says poor in spirit. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be poor in spirit? I'm supposed to have no spirit? And that would make me perfectly joy? What does it mean by that? And you know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, if you missed breakfast this morning, what are you thinking about right now? I look more and more like a banana every minute this service goes on. If you have no food, if you have been fasting for 3 or 4 days, you're hungry. All you think about is food. If you're swimming in the river, And you've been under the water for 20 or 30 seconds, what are you thinking about at that moment? Air. You're poor in air, so you want air. If you right now decide that you are poor in spirit, what will you want more than anything? What will you seek more than anything? But if I think I'm rich in spirit,
like I felt after the fish and chips. If I feel like I'm already full, then I'm not seeking in my heart. I'm not hungry. I remember when I was hungry, when I first read the Bible, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just couldn't stop. But oh, Matthew 5, I've read that 3,000 times. What could he possibly say about Matthew 5 that I don't already know? I've been here so many years, I know the Bible, I've read the Bible. You know, sometimes we can feel ourselves full, and then we miss out on having that incredible relationship with God. You know, if you had a fish at home, if you have one goldfish on the counter, you would not think that you understood the oceans. If you walk outside tomorrow night and you see the moon, you wouldn't think that you've expanded the universe. How could we, human beings who are infinite, who have lived 10, 20, even 30 years, think we've even scratched the surface of an infinite God? I would need a million lifetimes of doing nothing but praying and reading the Bible day and night to even scratch the surface of His love, of His mercy, of His grace, of His power, of His majesty. There's so much to know about God. You would need eternity to scratch the surface. Yet times I can wake up in the morning thinking, maybe later. Amen, church. Blessed, filled with an untouchable joy, is the person who wakes up and thinks he's poor in spirit. Because he will receive the kingdom of God. Amen, church. Let's go on. Next one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, about the hunger in spirit, I'm so proud of my wife because she's so faithful in reaching out to her family. My wife became a Christian. When she became a Christian, she was the 104th baptism of the Moscow Church. That was actually 2.5 months after the church was planted. So it was amazing how quickly God grew the Moscow Church. But then, you know, her mother was very against her becoming a Christian. Very against. Several years later, Lena's grandmother, who was like, I think, almost 80, became a Christian. Amen. A woman who had lived the majority of her life in communism, where there is no God, is now a Christian and became a Christian. Amen. And she's died and gone on to be with God. Amen. But then after Lena's grandmother became a Christian, Lena's mom became a Christian, which was a miracle. And that actually happened when after we moved. You know, sometimes you have to move away from your family for them to become Christians. Amen. The mother became a Christian. Then after mom became a Christian, a few years later, Lena's sister became a Christian. Holy. And now, after 18 years of us sharing our faith, Lena's sister's husband got baptized last year. And, you know, it's amazing because, you know, sometimes you hear news of people you've been reaching out to for 18 years that, you know, he called me and said, you know, Sean, I'm on the third Bible study. Really? He said, yeah. He said, I may be getting baptized in the next month or so. Hello? 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 I couldn't believe it. We tried all kinds of things. So he called me a week later. He said, you know, I'm getting baptized this Saturday. Can you come up for my baptism? I'm like, I wouldn't miss it if I had to walk there, you know? So we come up to the baptism, and I sit with him, and I said, bro, so what happened? I mean, don't get me wrong with that question. I'm so fired up. What happened? How did you decide now to become a Christian? What was it? And he said, well, I studied the Bible. And I thought, I'm pretty sure I thought of that. And he shared some more, and then he said, you know what, Sean? I said, I think I have an idea of how we can help lots of people become Christians. I said, tell me. And he said, if we could just open the Bible with them. If they could just read the Bible, it would totally change their lives. You know, I think sometimes we can play down the power of a strong relationship with God. Sometimes we don't completely understand the power of reading God's Word. Brothers and sisters, let's be poor in spirit always. Amen. Second one here. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. This is another one that doesn't immediately make sense, because when you see someone crying, it's not like you go up to them and say, how did you get that untouchable joy? Okay, and if you do that, don't do that anymore. That probably is not proper. But this is what the Bible says. Filled with untouchable joy is the person who mourns.
How? Why? You know, I've come to the conclusion, at least my thought on this is that, have you ever found yourself where you have to be someone who you're not really that person? Have you ever felt like you had to act a certain way that you don't really feel that way, but everyone expects you to act that way? Have you ever felt pain about something, but you think, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, or I don't want to cause anyone, so I'll just keep it in and just not tell anyone how I'm really doing? Sean, how are you doing? I'm fine, and inside I feel like I'm so down. It's so hard. And the Bible says, filled with untouchable joy is the person who can just be himself. Who can be open and real and honest about who they really are right now. This world is filled with facades. Facebook is all about putting up an image. Instagram image. By the way, I wanted to get an Instagram picture, but I'll do that later. It's all about the outside. God says, blessed is the guy who can be real about what's on the inside. Because when you're real about the inside, that's when you have real transformation. It's so great to have the small groups or Bible talks or whatever we have in our churches all around the world that you can sit down with three or four brothers and be real. Be open. Be completely honest. And if you're sad, you'll be comforted. If you're encouraged, you'll be encouraged. Whatever you need, God can get it to you through the brothers and sisters. But you have to be real. Amen, church. Amen. Filled with joy is the person who can be open about how they're feeling. You know, God loves you for who you are right now. He doesn't love you for who you could be or who you should be or who you would be. He loves the you right now. That's the one he fell in love with. That's the one he sent his son to the cross for. You know, I love my kids, and, you know, I got to explain a little bit about how that all happened. Not too much detail. But, you know, me and Lena were living in an apartment in Moscow, and we had lots of things to do, ministry and everything. And I thought, you know, we just can't seem to keep the apartment clean. So I thought, you know, if we had a kid, first couple of years we'll have to invest, but after that he could help out. You know, you got to put them in there while they're young. You got to kind of feed them a little bit. Then we'll put them to work. So we had a kid, and it was awesome. It was a boy. It was good, Andrew. He's an incredible son. And we put him to work, and we thought, you know, he can't quite keep everything straight the way we need it. We should have another kid. So we decided to have our second child, and we figured with two kids, they could definitely keep everything straight. And we could get more accomplished. No, that's not why we had kids, amen? We had kids because we wanted the relationship. We love our kids. We want someone to pour our lives into. I really believe that's the reason God called you into his family. Now, my kids do help out at home. Amen? Amen. I was waiting for them to say amen. Okay, they said amen. They help out. Of course, we all chip in because we're a family. But that's not the reason we came into the family. That's not the reason we had a family. It's great we get things done for the kingdom, and there's a lot to do. There's millions and billions of souls who need to be reached, and we need to do that together, and that's going to be awesome. But the reason you're here is because God loves you. Amen, church. Amen. Next slide. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You know, meek, I used to relate meek with weak. You know, if you're meek, you're kind of weak. But meek actually means under submission. Like they use that word with horse training. Like you train a horse and he becomes meek. He becomes under submission. Next slide. Now if we were to go to the horse races, let's say this horse down here was Mohan's horse, and that's my horse. They're probably equally strong. One's meek and one hasn't yet become meek. Now even if this horse were stronger than this horse, my guess is you could probably get more out of that horse than you would this horse. Just because it's meek. Amen? You know, if you took the 10 most talented musicians in London, put them up here on stage, and you let them play their favorite song as loud as they want, all at the same time, it would be a disaster. Now you take 10 campus or teens, and you put them up here on stage, you give them an instrument, you teach them for 1 month, even if they've never played, you teach them for 1 month to play the same song, and they all work under the same composer. Which group's going to be better? The second one. Undeniably the second one. Why? Because when you play together and you have one direction and you're submitting to the composer, you can create something amazing. But if you do it your own way, when you want, how you want, with whatever you want, even if you're the most talented person in the world, it's nothing but noise. What could 1,000 people who decide to 100% join their hearts together and 100% obey exactly what God wants for their lives, what would be possible if 1,000 people came together and decided to do just that? What would happen in Kiev if 2,000 people made that decision today? What if even a Bible talk of 6 people came together? What could God do through them? You know, even if they're 1 week old in the Lord, even if they were all baptized yesterday, what could happen if 3,000 people had one heart and mind? Now, the other example, what if you had 100 people who knew the Greek and the Hebrew and had memorized Genesis through Revelation and they have 17 degrees and they know everything and they've been in the kingdom for 4,000 years? What could they do together if they all have to do it their way? Absolutely, almost nothing. I think God wants us to be meek. He says here, filled with joy is the person who just submits to God's will. Just submit to God's will. Amen, church? God can do such amazing things through us when we just submit to Him. Next slide. You know, I don't know if you've read this book. There's a good book called Do Hard Things, and there was an illustration in there that said one horse can carry or can pull 1,000 kilograms, and you would think two horses then could pull 2,000 kilograms. But the book said that it's actually a scientific fact that two horses can pull 5,000 kilograms. One horse, 1,000. Two horses, 5,000. Have you ever felt that in your Christian life where you've just been with a buddy or been with someone and they help you along and you're able to do so much more than you would ever done by yourself? When we join our hearts together, it's not addition, it's multiplication. God can do amazing things. You know, I'm so proud and encouraged to hear about the incredible unity in the London church. God can do so much more through this church together than He could ever do with each one of us being separate. Amen, church. Next slide. Okay, quick hug. If you promise not to fellowship. Can I trust you guys? Can we be meek all together? All at the same time? Okay, everyone stand up. We'll make this 10 seconds long. Come on, stretch the legs. We're halfway through. Stretch your legs. Quick hug. You can do it. Look at that. 4 seconds left. Okay, let's be seated. Wow, check us out. That was awesome. Perfect. Thank you. Excellent. Blessed, filled with an untouchable joy, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Amen, church. I'm so thankful this verse does not say, blessed are those who are righteous. That takes a load off. I'm thankful this says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Who here enjoys their birthday? Raise your hand. Okay, I noticed the young ones shoot up faster than the older ones. That was just an observation. What do you like about your birthday? Throw out some thoughts. What do you like? Presents, birthday cake. Presence, family, encouragement. Okay, excellent. Excellent. You know, I love birthdays. I love Christmas. I love holidays. It's always fun to be on a holiday. You know, the crazy thing about birthdays is everybody's nice to you on your birthday. Did you notice that? Even the things you do wrong are cute on your birthday. Now, the next day, that all goes somewhere. I'm not quite sure where that is. But it is amazing how encouraging it is. And it's funny because when you see someone and you know it's their birthday, you think, I'm not just going to hug him. I'm going to say something really kind to him. I'm not just going to say, hey, bro. But since it's his birthday, I'll start out with the first sentence. Bro, you're awesome. I love you. You're incredible. Now let's move on to the next issue. But you know, when it's our birthday, it's almost as if we slow down, take a step back, and think, let me make sure this person knows I really appreciate him and love him. You know, I think there's an encouragement deficit on the planet today. I think it's slipped into the church just a little bit. And I want to encourage all of us, to be so much more encouraging than we've ever been before? What if every day everyone in here had a birthday? What if every day you got five or six calls just saying, bro, I think you're awesome. I so appreciate your heart. I so appreciate, sister, the way you serve. I so appreciate this. If we hear that every day and are surrounded in this environment of people who love us, believe in us, and encourage us, what would be possible? Amen, church. Let's hunger and thirst and to do the right things. You know, I don't play instruments of any kind. I don't sing well. My family, my kids are great. They have talent and they sing well, but I don't. But you know what? I love music. This worship today, I thought, I turned to Mohan, I said, can we skip the sermon and just have a few more songs? Unbelievable the worship in this room this morning. I love music. I like listen to the same song over and over and over again. It drives everyone nuts. And I turn it up loud and I sing, and me and the dogs in the alleyway are singing. It's incredible. It's harmony. It's wonderful. But here's the interesting thing. My talent for singing is somewhere down here. My passion is somewhere up here. Passion. I love it. It's awesome. But my talent is, my success is somewhere down here. Now, since I became a Christian, it's come up a little bit. That's arguable. We won't go into that. Christianity is the same way. Our passion to be like Christ. Oh, it's up here. Now, sometimes our actual ability to be exactly like Jesus. We're trying. But we never let our passion go down. Because what Satan does, this is Satan's voice. Maybe you've heard it. I've heard it in my head a couple times. Sean, why are you fired up? In reality, you're down here. You're a hypocrite. Come on down, Sean. Bring your passion down here. You should actually walk into church without a smile on your face, because actually you're not doing so hot. And that's not working out, and that's not working out. And then all of a sudden, okay, well, at least I'm being honest. At least I'm being honest. And then sometimes even the brothers help me be honest. Bro, what are you all fired up about? Don't worry, when you get to be as old as me and the Lord, you'll be down here too. Blessed, filled with joy, is the man who can disconnect his passion with his reality. That he can just be fired up to be like Jesus, just like that first day. So fired up to be like Christ. Yeah, but Sean, yeah, I know it's not, but I'm here. Yeah, I know I can't sing, but I'm still fired up. Church, let's never let our passion go. Sorry about that. Let's never let our passion go. Amen. Filled with joy is a person who hungers, starving, thirsts, wants to drink, excited about the kingdom. Amen, church. Next slide. We're almost there. This is the first one that actually makes sense. Blessed are the merciful, so they will be shown mercy. You know, that's pretty simple. What you dish out is what you get. If you walk up to someone today after church and say five nice things about them, Tokes, you're awesome. You're so kind and serving and loving and generous and spiritual. Then I pause. Then Tokes will say back to me, oh, you're pretty good too, Sean. Amen. He's probably going to say something nice back to me, probably. Now, if I go up to Tokes and I say five things that I don't like about Tokes, you guys may be visiting me in the hospital later today. What you give is usually what you receive. If you wake up in the morning and you spend 20 minutes listening to how much God loves you, believes in you, needs you, has called you, inspires you, trusts you, and loves you. If you fill that up with God in the morning, guess what you're going to give out all day long? But if you get up there in the morning and you open up that Bible and you think, okay, I blew it here. God doesn't like this about me. He doesn't like that about me. I'm no good here. This isn't any good, and I need to change that, and that ain't so good. What are you going to go out and share with everybody? Let's hear God's voice. Amen. Let's fill up with God. Blessed are those who give mercy. They will receive mercy. Next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, this purity is, it's not talking about like sexual purity. It's more like pure of heart, being separated out from anything that contaminates. Next slide. We like pure water. Amen. No one wants to drink dirty water. We want the water to be pure. Next slide. What do you see here? It says if you have a pure heart, you can see God. Now, this is hard to see what that is. Next slide. Oh, it's a bird. You know, this is me driving with my contact lenses in. This is me driving without my lenses in. And everyone in the back seat. If you focus and you have a pure heart, you can see God clearly. Have you had moments in your Christian life where you just know what God's will is? It's just like black and white. It's because you have a pure heart with God. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where it's hard to make a decision and it doesn't seem clear and it's like, I'm not sure what I should do. And it's because sometimes we let something else become more important in our heart than God. Should I take that job on Antarctica? It pays well. Not quite sure what God's will is. There's a lot of lost penguins in the world. Got to think about this one. And everyone around is like, dude, what are you talking about? Because something got above God in your heart. And it became blurry. Keep your heart pure with God and you will see things clear as day. As soon as you let something else in your heart, everything gets a little blurry. Amen? Yeah. Next slide. Last one. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Next slide. Now, you may think you had a bad morning. This is a bad morning. This is a guy in a kayak, and there's a great white shark behind him that I think he's just now becoming aware of. He desperately needs a peacemaker. You know, when it talks about peacemakers, it's not like, you know, me and Tokes got in an argument and we need Mohan to be a peacemaker. It's more like peacemaker means you get involved to stop utter destruction. It's like getting in between utter destruction. And when Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, he's talking about our role that we play between the people of this world and God. Because there is going to be a mighty war. And anyone who's not on God's side will be utterly destroyed. All of us, when we indulge in our sinful nature and we become sinful, we are at odds with God. We are like objects of wrath, the Bible says. There'll be utter destruction for eternity for anyone who remains at odds with God. So we desperately need a peacemaker to get in between us and God and to try and reconcile us so that we don't have to go to war with God, which clearly we would lose. Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker. He shed his blood to make peace with us, with God. But he sits here filled with joy as the person who is a peacemaker. You are on this planet today not to be a banker, to be a dentist, or to play sports, or whatever it is you do. That's not the reason you're here. The reason you're here is to be a peacemaker. That is your greatest calling, your greatest role. Now, we use these other jobs as opportunities to be peacemakers, but we are peacemakers filled with joy as a person who's focused on helping others get right with God. Amen? We're going to watch a short video clip that I think illustrates this excellently. Let's watch this. We have to turn on the sound.
You. Look at your eyes. Look at them. Speckled. Colorful, each one unique, and I created every one of them. I created everything, the universe, and you. I gave you your personality. I made you pure, complete. every day. I give you life. I love you. But something happened. You cheated on me. You didn't trust me. You sinned. You cut yourself off from me. And although you're still alive, you are slowly dying. So you looked for other things. To fill the void. But nothing works. It just kills you faster. Creation. I was tempted, but I never sinned. I came to save you. You have so many sins, and they have a cost. Someone has to die, you or me. So I took on your sin.
Amen. Next slide.
You know, it says if we're peacemakers, we'll be called children of God. You know, 2,000 years ago, if your dad was a carpenter, what did you become? Carpenter, because your dad taught him his trade. What if 2,000 years ago your dad was a cook? You'd probably cook, amen? If his profession is reconciling people to him, if his profession has been loving people and helping them have a relationship with him, if that's what he does, if that's his profession, what would his children do? They would do the same. My dad's a carpenter, but all I do is cook. You would probably think me and my dad weren't clicking. Amen, church. We have the most amazing father ever. Amen. Let's be poor in spirit, filled with an untouchable joy when we're poor in spirit. Let's not be afraid to mourn and be open. Let's be meek and trust God that he'll work powerfully through us. Let's hunger and thirst. Amen, church? Amen. Let's be filled with mercy. Let's be pure in our hearts and let's be peacemakers because this is an amazing country. It's an amazing city. This is an amazing church. It's the church of Christ. It's the church of Christ. It's the church of Christ. Let's build our lives on the rock And I want to encourage all of you who are visiting today, open up the Bible. It's the rock. Study the rock. Understand what God's will is for your life. God has a dream for you to have an untouchable joy. And the great thing about all these things is you don't have to go do anything. You just have to change the way you look at this. And let's really build each other up, encourage each other, so that we can have an impact. Amen? Thank you very much.